Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's Palazzo Podcast Prospects Podcast. You have got your man, Big Gentle Ben, Benjamin Chase, here tonight, flying solo. So the production value may be a little bit lower, and that's okay. But we're here to talk tonight to you about some prospects that have a chance to impact their major league clubs by the end of the year, which could also impact your fantasy team as the year goes on. This was actually a suggestion of one of our very frequent commenters in our live chat on the YouTube, Eddie Buzz. And so if you have something you would like us to chat about, find us on YouTube, find us on the Discord, our Palazzo Discord. All kinds of great information being shared all around there, not just baseball. We're coming up on football season, and while I'm not so much a football nut the way that some folks are, our man Govier puts together a heck of a good coverage for fantasy football as well. So make sure you're checking in on the Discord. I think you'll enjoy yourself. But tonight, we're going to cover some major league baseball prospects, specifically some ones who could impact your major league squad. So we're going to start with a little bit of news and notes tonight. First big-ish news around the minor leagues is that the 2024 draftees that did sign have all been pretty much assigned out to wherever they're going to make their major league or their professional debut. Haven't seen a ton of really aggressive assignments. probably the one you're going to hear the most about is Christian Moore. We'll get back to him a little bit more later on. Other than that, it's so far pretty normative. We'll see how things go. But one of the effects of the draftees getting assigned means that the limited minor league roster space that we do have is now at a premium. So you're seeing some guys get released. A lot of these guys are from your DSL teams, the Dominican teams, the Complex League teams. So guys that really weren't getting a lot of playing time on a complex level and get released. But there are some fairly notable guys who've either been released or retired since the draft, and especially since all of our draftees signed their contracts. One of note to me was Jordan Brewer, former University of Michigan outfielder. He was released. Kendall Williams, a Dodger, or he was on the Dodgers now. He was originally drafted by the Blue Jays. He was once upon a time a helium type of prospect. But the big one that kind of surprised a lot of folks was Austin Beck, the former very early first-round pick of the Oakland Athletics, retired. Voluntary retirement. He's not done well. There's no dancing around it. He struggled in his minor league career after being drafted. And this was a kid who, man, he looked like he had every tool coming out of high school in North Carolina. And it just didn't work. And sometimes that happens. There are many more. Those were just a few that I caught that were a little bit notable. Feel free, anyone who's watching, we've got a number of folks watching here on various platforms. Feel free to fire off any questions, comments you might have as we go along tonight. Again, I'm going solo tonight, so I'm more than willing to engage you guys, because otherwise you got to listen to me talk about what I want to talk about. And while there's only a limited few people on the planet who really want to spend a lot of time with that. All right, so we're going to get into some promotions here. And first off, in the minor leagues, there's been some pretty notable promotions as we're getting into that last home stretch of the minor league season. The Red Sox promoted their trio of guys that have kind of worked together in AA Portland this year, Marcelo Meyer, Kyle Teal, and Roman Anthony. All three got bumped up from AA to AAA. Bubba Chandler was recently bumped up from AA to AAA, as was Brandon Sproat. Ryan Webb, we talked about him last week on guys who have done really well in AA, and he is now, the lefty, is up to Cleveland's AAA club. Yankiel Fernandez, a Rockies power-hitting outfielder, was promoted. And then Dalton Rushing and Alex Freeland in the Dodgers system were promoted from AA to AAA. Both of those guys, I think we can get into discussing a little bit more later when we get into guys that could impact the rest of year. But two guys that are going to finish out my AA to AAA promotions that you should really kind of know about. Cole Wilcox in the Tampa Bay system. He was once really a big time college arm. He's taken some time with injuries to get to the AA level in Tampa system, really shown well this year and worked his way up to AAA. And the other one is Craig Yoho. And I joke you not, that is his name, in the Milwaukee system. And Milwaukee is having all sorts of trouble with keeping guys healthy in their bullpen. And Yoho is maybe had the absolute best season of any minor league reliever. There are a few guys that are competing for that title, absolutely. But he's certainly among the group. So, looking at the rest here of the promotions, just some notable ones that were lower levels. Enrique Bradfield Jr. is going up to AA. George Claussen, personal fanboy here, is the former Gopher who was just traded to the Angels, is now going to be up in AA. Colt Emerson and Ralphie Velasquez, who were both drafted last year, are going to make their way up to High A. And for those of you who were really on the Henry Lalanne of the Yankees, he was a big hype guy this spring. He is finally getting out of complex and going to A-ball. I am honestly very excited to see him pitch. He is going to be with Tampa, with their Tampa complex, or Tampa, Florida State League team. And the great thing about the Florida State League is they have StatCast data. So I'm really excited to kind of dig in and maybe look a little bit more at his lines once he gets going. And I'm going to let our guy, Mike Virginia. Hey, Mike, by the way. Hi. Cue in our major league promotions, and that's highlighted by Zebby Matthews. And Zebby, if you are not aware, is a right-handed pitcher in the Minnesota Twins system. Baseball America had a really good article today on StatCast players that stuck out to them, and Matthews was compared strongly to a lineage that the Minnesota Twins have had that kind of goes back to Brad Radke, guys who just pound the ever-living crap out of the strike zone. But Matthews is a guy who also has a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. In my opinion, it's not the most dynamic of fastballs. He has moments when he spins it really well and it can play up better. But this is a guy who's going to beat you with location. He's got 7 walks on the entire season. He's just been incredibly impressive in how well he's controlled the strike zone. My concern there is he has been hit hard since he got promoted up to AAA, and harder than David Festa was at the same level. And for those of you who've had the opportunity to own David Festa, he's had his moments for the Twins, but that's definitely been his bugaboo, has been hard-hit baseballs that often end up leaving the park. So I like Matthews a lot. Any guy who can control the ball like that has a chance to succeed. I think anyone in fantasy who's expecting an elite starter here, I don't know that that's what you're getting, but he's going to absolutely be among the group that's going to have the chance to audition for a third playoffs rotation spot. Because while Pablo Lopez and Bailey Ober are pretty well stuck in their roles as the top two guys in that rotation, if Joe Ryan can't come back by the end of the season, and that would be very, very feasible for the normal recovery for him, you're going to have David Festa and Simeon Wood Richardson, and you're going to have Zebby, and you're going to have Louis Varland, and those three guys are going to all be competing for that third playoff rotation spot, which, for better or worse, that could be a very interesting grouping. Other guys who got promoted up to the big leagues, Kai Bush with the White Sox. I mean, we know there's probably not going to be a lot of wins there, but Bush is a guy who, lefty with good strikeout stuff, always liked that. My boy Govier could not join us tonight, but he is a huge Adrian Del Castillo fan. Called up, he's a catcher with the Diamondbacks. I like him. I've liked the bat since he was at the University of Miami. Really good overall hitter. My worry is, how good the catching is, because you can only put up with a bat first catcher for so long. If you are truly trying to make the playoffs, you want a catcher who's going to handle your pitching staff well, especially And we're going to get into this a little bit more later. The Diamondbacks have a pretty veteran pitching staff now that everyone's getting healthy. And you don't want a catcher who's kind of learning himself back there handling a playoff potential pitching staff. So this could be a short run for Del Castillo, but also remember that Christian Walker is hurt. So there could be some time at first base for him as well if he can keep hitting. Another guy that I've been watching for a little bit, Zach DiCenzo, has missed a lot of this year, but he got called up, and he's going to have every chance to establish himself as a major league hitter, get some time at first base, probably in a platoon role. But he is very solid all-around hitter. I don't know that I would call him a elite at anything, but I think this is a guy who could have a pretty good run. He's also capable at third. I don't know if I would call him good as a defensive third baseman, but they do have Alex Bregman, who will be a free agent at the end of this year. So if DiCenzo can come up and show that he's capable at third, that could end up being a pretty big deal. One that caught my eye, Cal Stevenson, we had a conversation about him about a month ago when he was doing really well in AAA. And yeah, it's a 28-year-old who's coming up for the Phillies, you know, so probably not getting a ton of time. But this is a guy with elite speed. And frankly, the Phillies need somebody who can handle center. And, you know, playoff teams like to have those speed guys that can give them a little something-something. This could be a guy that maybe gets you 10 stolen bases before the end of the year, very possibly in a pinch running role type of thing. Certainly not a nothing. At least should be something to keep your eye on. Will Wagner is the one who got announced today. He's going to come up with the Toronto Blue Jays. Don't know that there's a ton of power here, but this is definitely a guy who could hit for a high average with a lot of doubles and can kind of play all around the infield. I would never trust him at short, but of course I would have said the same thing about Bo Bichette and look at how he's handled things. But Bichette's a good thing here. I think as we get toward the end of the year, the guys who've really been on the struggle bus with Toronto are going to get an opportunity to get some extra days off. And Wagner is a perfect type of guy to get some time around the infield as those guys get days off. And if he can do well enough, maybe this is a guy that has a spot going into next year. Last one, not necessarily a prospect, but getting brought back up to the major leagues is Jordan Walker with the Cardinals. Boy, I got to say, he's been on a hot streak lately, but there was a lot. I caught maybe a dozen, half dozen to a dozen of his games this year. And the guy you saw in the major leagues was who you saw in the minor leagues this year. And it's just, it's not a well put together approach at the plate. And just can get beat on really good breaking stuff and beat on elite velocity. And the thing is, you see a lot more of that at the major league level. So unfortunately, if I am sitting on Jordan Walker and the excitement over his call-up is potentially giving you the opportunity to trade him, I think I might do that. I think I might see what my league mates think of Jordan Walker and potentially dangle his name, see what we can get. So the other reason I am sitting here all by my lonesome tonight is because our man Robbie Baseball is off today. But if you know, one of Robbie's major contributions to this show this year is bringing this. Jesus, take the wheel, take it from my hands, cause I can't do this on my own. And Robbie decided to leave us with his Jesus Take the Wheel pick for this week. Now, last week, if you guys remember, last week he told you to grab Osvaldo Beto. That may be, I don't know, Mitchell Parker was really good, but Beto might be his second best Jesus Take the Wheel pick from this year so far. That was a really good two-step. He picked one this week that I got to say, I like the player quite a bit. I just dropped him in a league, and now I'm looking at these matchups and kind of thinking maybe I need to reconsider. Jonathan Cannon, big former University of Georgia righty, hard sinker ball type of guy. He is pitching against the Yankees on a Nestor Cortez start, is what Robbie writes. He's a points league gem, and which is true. He's almost every start out, he's a quality start sort of guy. But he's kind of a roto dart throw. He's had three quality starts the last month, 3.48 ERA, 16 strikeouts in 31 innings. He's only 3% rostered on Yahoo, 24% rostered on Fantrax. But after the Yankees, he's got a two-step this week where he's at San Francisco, and then he goes home and faces Detroit. That's a really good pair of starts after the Yankees. If you're a little scared of the Yankees, grabbing him for those next two starts would be a really nice pair of starts to get Jonathan Cannon. Again, this is probably not a guy that's going to give you a lot of strikeouts. So if you're getting him for that, probably not. And you know, it's the White Sox, so don't count on wins. But boy, Cannon could give you some quality starts, and especially, as Robbie mentioned, in points leagues, that quality start, those innings, they're gold. And so being able to get him, that's going to be really nice. So if you got room on your roster, pull him through and see if you can fit him into your starting rotation this week. Hey, woohoo, we got a little bit of production. All right, folks. So at 1932... And I we're going to do this on the fly here. I am getting my own times here for Govier. That we are going to get into our late season call-ups. So if you got some questions, I went through, and we're going to start with non-contenders. I've highlighted at least one guy for every team the rest of the way that could potentially impact the Major League squad. So we got lots of guys to talk about here tonight, so I'm going to try to stay on task, which, you know, if you tune in on a regular basis, you know this could be a challenge for me. Our first team we're going to talk about is the Chicago White Sox, arguably the worst team in the league, although if you want to hear something really depressing, Chicago White Sox fans, you're not eligible for a top 10 pick this year. You may set a record for the worst record in the history of the league and not get a top 10 pick. That's really depressing. One guy, the guy that I'm highlighting here that folks should be wanting to watch for, Edgar Caro in the minor leagues has been really solid this year. Top 100 prospects. So if you're in a dynasty league, almost certainly he's very likely not available. But he's a switch-hitting catcher, kind of built perfect. You know, Cuban catcher, 5'10", 210. I think those are pretty close to – he's probably a little shy of 5'10", maybe more like 5'8". But this year, between AA and AAA, 287, 376, 479 slash line, 16 home runs, and walking a little more than 10% of the time, striking out less than 20% of the time. I mean, all that's good stuff. But on top of that, he's really solid behind the plate. I think he's going to be a guy that moves up or comes up and does some really nice things right away. And catcher, Corey Lee has done an admirable job this year. Nothing wrong with Corey Lee. But I think the future of the position is Caro, and he's 21. Got a chance to get him up and see what you got, get ready for next year. You're going to probably do that. Other White Sox, they always have a spot in their rotation right now, because it just seems like either A, they're getting hurt, or B, they're getting beaten up. Nick Nastrini could come back up. I would look for some of their double A starters, Jairo Iriarte, Mason Williams, or Mason Adams, and Jake Eater. Those guys all probably are going to get a shot to throw some innings here the rest of the year. All right, now for our boy Govier's Tigers.
Go Tigers!
Exactly. They really, they're working already a lot of their young players into their system. I think it'd be good to see what they have in Jace Young the rest of the way. And he's played well at AAA. Get him up, see what you got. And the other guy, I think, another infielder, Gage Workman, is a solid, solid glove guy. Bat's got some work to do, but I think this is a guy who's probably a very solid bench infielder for quite a while. And might as well get those guys up and see what you got. I do not think you're going to likely see Jackson Job the rest of the year. Just one of those guys. Unfortunately, it just makes sense. Let's manage the innings and get him to next year, and then let him just shove at AAA and earn his way onto the big league roster. Or, heck, he might come into spring training and earn a big league rotation spot. All right. Next club is the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, California, next to Disney, all that good stuff. Matthew Lugo, guy that they got at the trade deadline. If he's right now, he's out with a, I want to say a quad, but anyway, a leg injury. If he's healthy, it would make perfect sense to bring him up. And he's having a good run, learning the outfield this year, doing well so far. Bring him up. What the heck? And of course, the other guy, Christian Moore. I mean, this guy is just on a freaking tear since he turned pro. And at AA, in fact, I was going to check it. I had not checked on it this weekend. So, you know, we're going to have the ever impressive looking things up while on an audio podcast moment, because that's always very entertaining. And so far in six games in AA, Christian Moore has hit .542 with five home runs. I think it was Kenny Mayne who once said, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So six home runs so far in eight games as a pro. I got to admit, there was some talk about SEC schools that were shaving bats, and Tennessee was been brought up as one of those schools that might have been doing that. So I was a little hesitant to see what Tennessee hitters would do once they got into the minor leagues. And boy, has Moore just had not any problem whatsoever transitioning. So I don't know if, I mean, it's the Angels. You just, on a normal team, I would say maybe not. But come on, they bring people up and have no problem with it. So speaking of which, they like to promote from AA for pitchers. And right now, Caden Dana has been tremendous. And I think you're going to see at the end of the year, he's going to be a guy that jumps up a ton of lists. So if you got a chance, hop on Caden Dana. I think he's going to likely be up at some point the rest of this year for the Angels, and almost certainly competing for a rotation spot next year. All right. Oh, now Robbie's giving me an apology. He's saying he did eat some hot dogs from a campfire and spent 4 hours fixing a trailer bearing explosion. Oh, like the White Sox. Well, I cannot imagine a trailer bearing would be anywhere near the explosion that the White Sox are, but it's very feasible. So, but thanks for checking in, Robbie. So our next club, we're going to go to the Oakland Athletics. Well, Oakland for now. they have a whole list of guys that I think could be very interesting, but I'm going to mention a couple here. First, South Dakota boy Cooper Bowman would be an interesting fit, playing a lot of second and center. Max Muncy has been playing very well at short in AAA and was a top draft prospect, has just had, just frankly, had trouble staying on the field. He definitely could be a guy you see the rest of the year. But with them trading away Lucas Ursig, and with the, frankly, just, I don't know how long they're going to want to just go all out with Mason Miller. Two guys in their minor league system are really having nice years as relief prospects that are ready to come up. And one of them, they just acquired Will Klein. He was acquired in the Ursig deal from Kansas City. The other one is Grant Holman. And take a look at those guys. I mean, it'd take a really deep dynasty league to roster either one of them right now, but they absolutely could potentially give you some stuff. All right, you know, we actually talked about Zebby a little bit. I will kind of, I'll encourage you to go back and listen, but I'll give you just a quick summation. Can you trust him? It depends on what you're wanting to trust him with. If you're wanting to trust him with giving you six innings and giving you, you know, a chance for a win, sure. The strikeouts, I wouldn't guarantee, and I will worry you a little bit that he's had some trouble with hard hit balls in AAA. So watch just a little bit. So our man Eddie is here, and Eddie, I brought you up because the reason we're having this conversation tonight is you. You brought this up and mentioned that you'd like to know some guys that you could look at for potentially the rest of the season. And so that inspired me to go through and look up all sorts of players. So we're going to cover a ton of guys the rest of the way. But we're about halfway through. Like I said, just kind of give you guys a reminder here. I started with guys on non-contending teams. Now, just for a quick definition on what that means, I went on Fangraphs playoff odds and took all the teams with less than a 25% chance of playoff odds. So this is not me unilaterally deciding who is contending and who is not. This is a number system from Fangraphs, and that way I'm not deciding who's a contender and who's not. If you don't like the fact that your team was in here among the non-contenders, then I guess take it up with Fangraphs. What I would say here, we've got, let's see, let's move on. Our next one is Tampa. I really think Tampa swings for the fences rest of year. And I mean, everyone's looking for Junior Caminero to come up. I really think they also bring up Carson Williams. And one of the things to know, Carson Williams is one heck of a defensive shortstop. And I think they bring him up. He could be very, very, very solid at shortstop for them. He's, I believe, played the entire year in AA. But I really like him defensively. Definitely a power speed sort of guy once he gets acclimated. But this is a guy who has struggled when he gets to a level for a little while. So don't be surprised if you don't get a ton of offensive production this year, especially right away out of Williams. But he might be a good guy to hawk on if he does come up and then he spends a month getting used to it, but plays great defense. And then he might just take off for the last couple weeks of September. And if you're in head-to-head league, that could be a guy who's really valuable those last couple of weeks. Looking here, thinking of adding Zebby. Yeah, point leagues. Question here is that's the perfect spot for Zebby, because I think he's going to give you really good quality starts, innings, those type of things. He's not going to walk anybody. All those things that usually are good in a points league. except for strikeouts. That's the one thing he's not going to give you, but he is with the Twins. If, you know, we've seen this, you give the Twins six solid, there's a good chance with that bullpen that you're coming out with a win. Now, I say that, and they found a way to blow one recently. The Braves bullpen found a way to blow one against the frickin' Rockies this weekend. So all teams are certainly eligible to blow a lead for a guy, but yeah, points league is probably a perfect spot for Zebby. All right, Tampa, we're on to Texas. The Rangers are considered not a contender according to Fangraphs, and you guys, like I said, you can take that up with Fangraphs. I really think they're going to decide as the season winds down that there's no reason to hurry back guys like Jacob deGrom, especially if they're not in it. You know, there's no reason to hurry back any of these guys. And so take a look at Jack Leiter. Take a look at Owen White. Two guys that you may not know as well. Emiliano Teodoro. If you watch the Future Stars game at the All-Star break, Emiliano was the guy who was pumping out like 102s, 103s. Went to the Arizona Fall League a couple years back, really made an impression in short bursts, but has really honed in a cutter-ish changeup. So really a good option as a potential starter. But man, if he doesn't work as a starter, the three-pitch mix he has now is going to be just freaking lights out in the bullpen. So if you don't have him picked up in dynasty leagues, that's a guy to grab, because if he's not a starter, he's going to be a future dominant reliever. People in the Texas system who got to see Emmanuel Class A say that Teodoro could be that and more if he ends up in the bullpen. So take that for what you will. The other guy to note is Ryan Garcia, who's not exactly going to blow anyone away, but just one of those really steady Eddie type of starting pitchers that while folks know who Jack Leiter is, they know, you know, Owen White's been up before, Teodoro's got the big velocity, Garcia might be the guy that comes up and gets 3-4 starts the rest of the way for the Rangers. All right, moving on to Toronto. And actually, oddly enough, I had Will Wagner highlighted as the guy I really wanted to talk about in this organization before he got promoted. So I'm going to mention a guy, a lefty here who was originally from the University of Iowa. I think, you know, they've traded away Kikuchi. They're just, I mean, you saw what happened to Chris Bassett. I really think it would not surprise me at all if they just kind of say, you know what, we're going to run it back and we're going to throw out some young guys to eat up innings the rest of the way. And they acquired Jake Bloss as part of that deal for Kikuchi. Lefty Trenton Wallace, he's a University of Iowa guy, and he's just been elite at AA this year. Nothing really special. This is kind of your prototype left-handed fifth starter guy. 92 mile an hour fastball, slider, curve, changeup. But here's the deal. Yeah, and Eddie's mentioned Bowden Francis fits right into that mold. The guys that they're just going to likely toss out there and see what they got going into next year, because if you think that they're done trading away their expensive pitchers, just wait for the offseason, because I think there's more value in a guy like Chris Bassett going this offseason than even there was at the deadline, because he'd struggled a little bit going into the deadline. You can now go into the offseason and say, see, you get him for the whole offseason, you can maybe fix what was wrong, and now he's your number four that can be even better. But Wallace is a guy who, as a five from the left side, this is a guy who played right field for Iowa his first 2 or 3 years, and then decided to spend more time on the pitcher's mound instead of in the outfield. And he's still developing more and more feel of his off-speed stuff. I don't know that you're going to get a lot more velocity here. This is probably a low 90s lefty starter, but if he can get more and more feel for the curve, the change, the slider, like I said, that's your prototype 4-5 left-handed starter. I'd love to see Wallace get some innings in the major leagues by the end of the year. Okay, that's the American League non-contenders. Now we're going to go to the National League non-contenders. And again, we're going to make sure to mention this again, that this is due to Fangraphs. If you don't like the fact that your team's name is being mentioned here, let's remember that, because the first team up here is the Chicago Cubs. Chicago Cubs, I believe when I got this, and I'm just trying to pull off the top of my head, had something like a 14% playoff shot. I believe they actually might have had the highest playoff odds of any team that I left in the non-contenders. But the guy to watch with them, catcher, has been just a black hole for them on offense all year long. And they have arguably the absolute best catching prospect in the game as far as offense is concerned, in my opinion, and I'm okay being wrong, but that is Moises Ballesteros. And he is up at AAA Iowa right now. I want to say he's 20. Let me pull this up here. But 20-year-old, and he really is crushed all levels. I love these guys. 5'7", 215, and he looks every bit of it. He looks like a prototype catcher body that you would like. And this year, really hit well at Tennessee. And if you don't know the Southern League well, Tennessee is one of the many parks in the Southern League. I think there's two parks in all of the Southern League where you can get offense, and Tennessee is not one of them. But he hit 299, 372, 495 there with 9 homers, and then got promoted to AAA. And in 38 games, he's at 283, 346, 490 with 7 home runs. So 16 home runs on the year. 36 to 65 walk to strikeout ratio over 382 plate appearances. They've even played him some at first base just to make sure they can get the bat in the lineup. But he's had 34 games at DH just because they want to get that bat in the lineup. But he's a more than capable catcher. Excellent catcher. I think the arm is less than what you would like at catcher, but he is surprisingly good at blocking pitches and moving around back there. So I think he's going to stick as a catcher. So that's a perfect spot. The Cubs need anything they can get offensively there. Certainly, he's an excellent option. Our next one, we're gonna bring in our, you know, my production value here. We're gonna talk about our boys at
Coors
with the Colorado Rockies, and they have a number of guys who could pop up. I think I've mentioned on this show enough already, and frankly, we've talked about multiple catchers. I think Robbie's going to shoot me for talking about catchers as much already. But Drew Romo's definitely a guy to watch rest of season, because defensively, he is all that in a bag of chips. But he's actually hitting fairly well this year. Now, how much of that is the fact that he's hitting in Albuquerque? Well, that's a good question. But, you know, certainly there's an opportunity here for him to come up and get some run at the end of the season and potentially take over that job opening next year. If you've been watching the Rockies starting pitching, you'll know that they've had some definite struggles there. And it's why I've kind of been watching the progress of guys like Sean Sullivan and Chase Dolander this year. I don't think either one of those guys is going to quite make it up to the major league level, but Carson Palmquist is a guy that I've been watching off and on throughout the year, and just, he's another guy, you know, not going to blow you away with raw stuff. goodness, he gets out there left-handed, 6'3", comes out, and he just gives you innings. He's a solid pitcher every time out, and he's not done well since he got put up to Albuquerque, but I'm not going to hold that over anybody. But 90 innings this year, 3.79 ERA, 1.23 whip, and 117 strikeouts over those 90 and a third innings. Gotta love that. I mean, that's a solid pitcher. And like I said, from the left side, see what you got. See what you got. Because, you know, what else you gonna do with that? Let's see. Eddie here mentions, you know, there's no good reason why the Rockies didn't move both of their free agent to be catchers at the trade deadline in order to make room for Drew Romo. Absolutely agree. I absolutely agree with that. He's been hitting well all year long, and you know the defense has always been there. This is one of those guys. Quite frankly, if you want to see a potential progression for Romo, this is the way he progressed up the system is really what they should have done with Ethan Salas in the Padres system. Very first minor league season was spent at low A. Now, granted, he was coming off of, you know, he was drafted in 2020 in the, you know, where he didn't get a chance to debut in his draft season, but then full season in high A the next year. And then last year he had a chance to get a few games at AAA by the end of the year, and he spent all year this year in AAA. He's 22. For a catcher, that's really quite young. And 13 home runs, 297 batting average. You'd like him to walk more, but he only struck out 65 times over 366 plate appearances. You know, I don't know what else you want out of a guy offensively. That's a really solid, and we know defensively he's stinking elite. So, yeah, I don't know why the Rockies didn't make room for him. So, if I could figure that out, I suppose I'd have the Rockies GM job, and boy, I wouldn't like my life very much. So we're going to talk about better things, like, you know, being a player in Miami. They did really well in their trade deadline, and I think a number of those guys could factor the rest of the year. Augustin Ramirez at catcher has had a really solid year in AA and AAA this year. Lots of power. Certainly an opening in the Marlins system for a catcher. Why not bring him up? Good Lord, I really think Robbie is going to protest getting on next time with me, as much talking about catchers as I have. In fact, I think that may be my only catcher I have left on here who's being talked about as only a catcher. Let's put it that way.
This is the Palazzo Podcast. Up next after the break, Ben reveals his top 1,000 Atlanta Braves prospects in order.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
So there we go. That's the end of the catcher talk. But Connor Norby and Davison De Los Santos certainly could take spots at the big league level. Norby has been playing third base since he was acquired, and that's a spot where certain the Marlins are playing Jonah Bride, and Jonah was on a hot streak for a little bit, but I have no assumption that Jonah Bride is going to keep that up. Connor Norby absolutely should get some run there just to see what you got. Davison De Los Santos, wouldn't surprise me if he came up and was playing some first base and DH, and from, let's say he gets called up next week, so he's got 5 weeks of play, 5-6 weeks of play here, and wouldn't surprise me at all if he finished out the season hitting .310 with 12 bombs in that time. Also wouldn't surprise me at all if he hit .180 with 3 bombs in that time and about 45 strikeouts. That's kind of the player you're getting here. But when he's on a heater, he's a guy you definitely want to have hold of. So, yeah, Chad's just showing up. Hi, Chad. I'm running solo tonight. So you get to have just me talking about stuff. But here, the good news is I haven't even gotten on to contenders yet that could impact the rest of the year. So you missed the news notes, and we're on to everyone's favorite team by the bay, the San Francisco Giants. And Chad actually came on at a good time, because I really don't see why there's a reason that Carson Wisenhunt doesn't get a half a dozen starts. Well, not, there isn't really time enough for that, but doesn't get a handful of starts the rest of the way at this point. Just see what you got. How many times we've said that, but that's really the main thing. What do you got here? Let's see. Get him out. Run him out there. See what you got. Because he should impact your decision for the 2025 rotation, and certainly should be impacting whether or not you're shopping Blake Snell if he does accept his player option this offseason. Might be something where you decide that he's more valuable to you pitching for somebody else with the value you could get back for him if he has a really strong end of the year. But that's, again, San Francisco, this was someone that Fangraphs said had less than a 25% chance to make the playoffs. So that's why we're talking about him here with the non-contenders. St. Louis. There's a number of guys here that I really think make sense to come up for St. Louis, and I think you're going to see quite a few of them. But it just, they brought up Walker. I think they need more defense in the outfield than what Walker's going to provide. So it would not surprise me the rest of the year to see Victor Scott or Mike Antico come up, and those guys both can go and get it in the outfield. And Tico's a little more well-rounded, but probably not one of those guys that has a lot of average tools and nothing that really sticks out. I've looked at him for a long time as a potential future fourth outfielder. I think he's one of those guys that does a lot of things well, and he's going to have a nice long career as that type of a guy. But Victor Scott, if he gets called up and he gets the bat going again, which I will say it hasn't exactly shown very well down in AAA so far. So it's certainly possible that he comes up or he doesn't come up because he's still not hitting all that great this year in the minors. 219 is all he's hitting. And he's trying to alter his swing to get some power. And I will never figure that out. If you have the ability to steal 94 bases, swing in such a way to get your butt on base. Don't worry about hitting the ball over the fence. That's my huge, yeah, there you go. That's my input right there, but I was just going to pull it up here real quick because I thought, yeah, he did. He got called up. Scott did already. And yeah, I guess he's been playing fairly well. Got 3 hits over the weekend. Problem is he's just striking out constant. So, and no stolen bases since he's been called up. So yeah, got to do better than that. But that's, like I said, I think there's a number of options here for St. Louis. It just really depends on when they decide they're actually not contending. According to Fangraphs, they're not. So we'll just see. Last but not least, among the non-contenders is the Washington Nationals. And they already took one step on this, and they brought up Jose Tania, who they had acquired from Cleveland. I believe they're going to also consider some time for Andre Chaparro, who they acquired from Arizona, and give them both some time at third base. Chaparro probably gives you average and doubles power, not really a big home run guy. Tania can play all around the infield. Love him. And Chad is saying, pull this up here. Chad is saying that Chaparro did just get promoted, which is great. It was actually exactly what I was calling for here because Tania has come up and shown okay at third base. I really think he's a better play 3-4 days a week at second, third, and short sort of guy. Not necessarily an everyday third baseman sort of guy. He's hit for more power than I would expect this year. Tania's usually been a guy who is really good for contact and kind of low double-digit power and steals, but he's really, I think he might even have 20 homers on the year overall. But just a guy to look at there. As far as others, big names of note with Washington, of course, everyone's going to ask if Dylan Cruz is coming up. Again, along the same lines as Jackson Jobe, I think there's some good reasoning to let him just work out this year in Double A, and Triple A, and just finish out the season in the minors, and let him come ready to fight for a position in spring training next year. I don't know that they've got guys like Alex Call in the outfield. They've got, you know, Jacob Young. They're already giving time to James Wood. You know, you've also got Juan Yepez. You got a lot of guys who are vying for some outfield time right now. Let them figure out who's got a future role on the team as their fourth outfielder and have Cruz be your opening day guy next year. That's sounds like a pretty good idea to me, but, you know, I don't get to make all of the decisions. So we are at 53 minutes and 40 seconds. going to start talking about some contenders. And some of these were tough. I'll be honest. Some of them were a little bit difficult to figure out who would really come up and do much. And we'll start with the one reason or one of those teams in Baltimore. We've seen all the guys that they really can bring up, and they brought a bunch of them up already. I don't know, but the guy, one guy that I will highlight because we just saw Craig Kimbrell blow a game, having some good bullpen depth is going to be a very important thing. And a guy that they acquired at the deadline, Patrick Riley, has had a really solid season this year, and I think he could immediately be an asset in their bullpen. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if he comes up and he ends up factoring into the Orioles bullpen by the end of the year. I highly doubt he ends up in even like the eighth inning. This is probably a sixth, seventh inning guy. But if you're in sixth, seventh inning, maybe getting holds, certainly could put up some decent rates and strikeout numbers for you. For the Red Sox, again, we've seen a lot of what they're going to get. They're going to get Tristan Casas back. That's really going to do a lot for their lineup. On the pitching side, I think Richard Fitz probably is the type of guy that could help out this roster a lot. Come up and just give him some solid innings. I don't know that he does a whole lot for you as a fantasy owner, but he's the type of guy that could come up and he could give them a solid 5-6 every start out. And lately they've been having to spend a lot of time with bullpen guys on the mound. And so I think that could be a big help for them. Cleveland would be the next guy. So Cleveland is going in a division and they just had a rough weekend. Well, I guess it depends on how you want to term it. They had a chance to put away the Twins this weekend, and they didn't. The Twins ended up having a pretty solid overall weekend series against the Guardians. One of the things to note with the Twins, they have a really good platoon situation when you have a righty on the mound. Cleveland right now has righties on the mound. Having the ability to bring up a lefty would make a lot of darn sense for their rotation. I understand that they got a guy like Logan Allen that they've kind of swung back and forth, but he's not gotten it done. 564 ERA or 556 ERA this year. I have down here a number of guys here that they've had that have pitched well. Ryan Webb, we talked about earlier, getting promoted up to AAA. Dub Nkazi has had a solid year. Will Dion hasn't been elite. But yeah, I think those are three guys to really watch as a potential guy to come up and maybe get some starts from the left-hand side to keep, especially when they're facing the Twins. You get that lineup set up with righties in the lineup instead of the Walners, the Larnucks, the Max Kepler. You start to get those guys sitting on the bench. That could be an asset as you start off the game. Okay, our next team here, as we go through the AL teams that are in contention, is the Houston Astros. And they did call up Zach DiCenzo. We talked about that earlier. Shea Whitcomb is the guy that I would really look at. Shea is not too far away. I think he's a home run away from another 25-25 or from a 25-25 season. He had 30 homers last year, and I think he's had double-digit home run and steals every single year of his minor league career. Very solid fantasy asset as far as the power speed combination. He has played everywhere on the field except catcher and center field this year. So bringing him up as a righty bat that could give them some options around the field just seems like a perfect fit for what that team needs. Because right now they can't find that guy. They've always had someone like that on that team. A Marwin Gonzalez, Mauricio Dubon, whoever you want to say that gives them something with the bat and plays all over the field. And they've not been able to get that guy this year. And I think Whitcomb could maybe give them that guy going into the postseason. Kansas City Royals are still definitely in it. I think they're probably fairly content. I won't say that they're happy, but they're content with what they're getting out of their lineup. One of the guys to look at here, they went out and acquired some pretty solid relievers. But one of the guys that caught my eyes as I was looking at options for them was Evan Sisk. And Evan is a guy who was originally drafted by the Cardinals and has bounced around quite a bit. Originally was drafted by the Cardinals in 2018 from the College of Charleston, and he moved into the bullpen right away and was traded to the Twins, and I want to say, in 21, I can't remember who the heck that was for. I know John Gant came back, and it was that the Twins sent over was ancient starter. J.A. Happ. There we go. J.A. Happ was the guy that went over with Evan in the Evan Sisk deal that brought him to the Twins. And he's had really solid times, he had a really solid year in 22 for the Twins. And then they traded him to the Royals as Chad mentioned here, the Michael A. Taylor trade. That was what got him from the Twins to the Royals. And he didn't have it last year. To be blunt, he 40 walks in 61 innings. It was not great. This year, significantly better in that respect. 62 strikeouts in 42 innings this year. A big deal here, zero home runs allowed. 170 ERA so far, 109 whip. This is a guy that, as a lefty reliever, could factor into that bullpen by the end of the year. Okay. Next, we got the Minnesota Twins. We already talked about Zebby. I'll go for another pitcher. Former first-round draft pick of the Chicago Cubs, Ryan Jensen, has remade himself as a reliever and has really pitched well for St. Paul this year. And we mentioned earlier, the Twins essentially are running out Pablo Lopez and Bailey Ober, and then a whole bunch of guys that are auditioning for a potential third playoff rotation spot. So they're very likely going to need to get some innings out of their bullpen, and a guy like Ryan Jensen could definitely do that. But the guy that I think is interesting to get a hold of here is actually someone they just this year signed from an independent league. His name is Peyton Eales, E-E-L-E-S. And if I pronounce that wrong, I apologize, Peyton. He's played all over the field, worked his way all the way up to AAA. Just kind of your perfect fits everywhere. And why he popped in my brain this week that I thought he'd be an interesting add is Willie Castro got dinged up. And so that was a thing that right away kind of caught my eye and went, oh, hey, wait, if they had another guy that could do like a Willie Castro, that would be interesting. Twins have a lot of pitching options that could still potentially factor, but like I said, I think they've got what they are going to use in the rotation. So let's see here. So Twins, now we can go to the Yankees. And the Yankees, everyone's going to ask Jason Dominguez. And their own GM came out this week and said, I just don't know where we have a fit for him. Which is a really interesting thing to have your GM say. But basically said, if Stanton's healthy and we've got the other guys in the outfield we do, we really don't have a spot for him. And that makes all the sense in the world. But what the Yankees do as well or better than anybody else is they take a guy who's solid in college and they find another degree in him. And the guy that they've been doing that with this year is Ben Shields. They got him as an undrafted free agent. And he has gone from high A to double A and now is in triple A. Triple A first start didn't go so well. Gave up 9 runs in an inning and 2/3. That was not so swell. But so far this year, 86 innings, 109 strikeouts, 3.35 ERA, and a 109 whip from a lefty, 6'4" lefty, could definitely impact what they're doing in that rotation the rest of the way, because Yankees definitely are going to want to eat some innings as they go the rest of the year. But Shields has definitely he's moved up very well this year. I think he could potentially impact that. Well, yeah, Eddie, I live in the Bronx, and Yankee fans want Cashman and Boone out of here for the past 3 to 4 years. Man, you know, I get it with Boone. Boone to me is kind of a yokel, but, you know, he has always struck me as kind of a, honestly, I think in that franchise, he's hanging on by the, I once hit a really important home run that beat the Red Sox. But Cashman, I just don't know who they're going to get that's going to be better than him at that position. He's really an intelligent baseball man. And so I get that he's not winning the way that they want him to win, but also understand that this isn't 2004 either, which of course he didn't win for quite a while there either, but Major League Baseball has done a lot in the last 25, 30 years to make it to where just because a team has the most money, they aren't going to necessarily win. A big thing for Cashman was he was able to develop a hell of a core for that Yankee club in the mid-90s into the late 90s, and then had the money to keep them all together and supplement them with really good players on top of that. I mean, you get a Jeter, Rivera, and Bernie Williams, Jorge Posada core and keep those guys around. Yeah, that's a really solid core to build around for a lot of years. And they just, you know, they keep having a guy come up and be that guy. That Judge, good Lord, for a lot of this year, Judge has been all that they had. I just edited a story and put it up for the IBWAA today and did some research. And Juan Soto has a 180 OPS and or OPS plus, and Judge has a 217 OPS plus, would be a career high for him. There is one other player, Austin Wells, who even has a 100 OPS plus on the entire team this year. So that's kind of crazy. Yeah, and I get that, Eddie. A lot of folks want to credit Gene Michaels for building that, and Gene put together a hell of a development system, but understand that Cashman was working with him for a lot of that too. And just there's a reason why he was the one that they kind of hand chose to move into that role. Tim is asking about Junior Caminero. We did talk about him earlier, that it just makes sense that the Rays would go forward with Caminero. Would you drop Tyler Fitzgerald for him? Not right now, because right now we're waiting on a typical Tampa game of we're going to not call him up and not call him up and not call him up, and then all of a sudden who's going to be up? So right now I would say really you're going to end up having to fight your league mates, because I am – if you have a read on Tampa, you're doing better than I am, because I just – I don't. And so we'll wait to see what comes out of this. All right, moving on from the Yankees to Seattle. Seattle Mariners, really, with guys getting healthy, there's not a whole lot of holes there. I could see Logan Evans having a little bit of impact the rest of the year as a guy who could potentially start or relieve for them, but it could certainly eat up multiple innings out of the bullpen if he comes up. We mentioned Leo Rivas earlier this year when we were talking about Seattle. Kind of a sharp little infielder that I think could help out, but probably not stealing away at bats from really anybody. But yeah, Evans is probably your guy in Seattle. So that takes care of all of our American League contenders. So I'm marking down things here for Govier. And Eddie's asking, is Emerson Hancock an overhyped minor leaguer? What I'll tell you Emerson Hancock is he is a product. Oh, Chad, you missed it. Robbie made a Jesus take the wheel pick. But I still have National League teams to go here. I was going to look you up, Emerson. I want to say, that he was a 2020 draftee. That, I will tell you, as much as I'm a huge, huge personal fan of Max Meyer, we're seeing that 2020 college draft class at the very top of it had a good opportunity to show out in non-conference games and didn't have to go through the rigors of a conference season. And that's one of the things. Hancock, same thing. I think Hancock, for what he is a really solid pitcher. He's a guy that's going to be an eat your innings, go out, pitch. You know, he's going to give you five innings every start. That type of a player. Living on the ground ball. I mean, you've seen 28 strikeouts in 45 innings. But yeah, I think he is what he should have been hyped to be, but because he was selected sixth overall, a lot of folks had different ideas over who he was going to be. So yeah, 4-5 type. Yeah, absolutely. And if you're expecting a 4-5 type, he's perfect. Cause I think he's still getting his feet wet, but I think he's a guy that is going to give you a lot of quality starts down the road as he gets more used to being in a major league rotation. But I don't know that I would ever count on him to be a guy that gives me 200 strikeouts ever. I mean, unless he's pitching 250 innings, he isn't giving you 200 strikeouts. All right, so final. We're going to go into the National League contenders, last but not least. Arizona probably is pretty well set as long as guys get healthy. That said, you're dealing with a lot of health issues in their starting rotation, so I would still keep Yulber Diaz and Christian Mena on your speed dial, because those guys could certainly factor into getting some pitching time for the Diamondbacks. Diaz in particular, I would really like in a multi-inning relief role if they brought him back up in that type of a role. So if you see that, take a shot and pull him in, because I think he's going to give you some really good numbers in that type of a role. Even if it doesn't give you a lot of saves, even if it or a lot of holds or saves, it could get you strikeouts and ratios. And that's always nice to have. And probably some vulture wins if he's doing a multi-inning bullpen role. All Okay, had to wet the whistle just a little bit. All right, Braves. And you know, this is my team, but really, I think if they're going to compete, they're going to compete with what they got on stock. About the biggest thing that they could potentially see is AJ Smith-Shawver come in. And Shawver's just really, really struggled with the long ball in AAA. I don't think he's ready to come up. Ian Anderson could potentially factor in before Smith-Shawver, but really, they're going to be trotting out a lot of number five, number six type of guys. They've got their starting rotation for the playoffs if they get there, but it's 100% a matter of staying healthy and just having guys do what they should do. To the Dodgers, and while we mentioned Rushing, we mentioned Freeland, I think both of them could factor into a playoff roster. Dalton Rushing has been playing a lot of left field since coming up to AAA, which certainly would be an interesting asset for the Dodgers as a guy who can play catcher and outfield as far as putting together a lineup. But the guy who I'm going to tell you to take a look at is Edgardo Henriquez. And that's Edgardo, and then Henriquez, if you guys, common spelling for kind of both of those, but not Edguardo. I've heard that a few places. It's not Edguardo, it's Edgardo. And he had been a starting pitcher, was injured, came back this year. They've kind of brought him back in the bullpen, and the guy's popping 103s. And with a couple extra other pitches that are really good too, he could very well factor in as an elite bullpen option for the Dodgers down the stretch, especially now that they lost Bruiser Gatterall on his first appearance back. But Henriquez is a guy to definitely take a look at. Milwaukee Brewers, I really think they're probably their biggest need is in their bullpen, and Aaron mentioned this. I'm going to pull it up here and show it to all you guys on the screen if you're watching the video. Aaron Gillingham, apologies, Aaron, for tripping over your name, says, going to see hopefully Mizorowski pitch out of the bullpen on Thursday before he gets called up. And exactly. They have been working Mizorowski in the bullpen. I mentioned Craig Yoho, who just got up to AAA. I think those are guys to watch for factors the rest of the way for Milwaukee, because they're having some injury bug hit their bullpen, and those are two big time production guys out of the bullpen potentially. Mizorowski with just huge raw stuff, transitioning him to the bullpen just makes sense that it could be really good. And Yoho has been darned good all year long. So look at both of those. Our second to last team here, just to warn you, New York Mets. And as much as they may need some help on offense, the only guy I really saw that made a ton of sense to come up would be to bring up Ronald Acuna's little brother, Luis Angel, and just have him play around as more of your like off the bench speed type of guy. But they also have a number of guys in AAA who are all really sucking it up in their debut in AAA on the mound. Blade Tidwell, Mike Vassell, Justin Jarvis, Brandon Sproat, none of them looks good right now, but all guys with legit major league type stuff. If they could put together a run of a couple of starts in AAA, or even if they could just show they have that stuff all together, the Mets definitely have spots still in their pitching that they could use them. So I could certainly see that. Let's see here. I'm going to pop in Logan Henderson. Absolutely. Logan Henderson has been very good too. There are some options in that AAA bullpen, and I think that that could be really good. As far as Casey Hunt has been really pitching more as a starter. He did get bumped up to AA recently, but they have been pitching him more as a starter. And so I don't know that they haven't made that move to fully focus on him as a reliever. So I don't know if he's going to be coming up as a relief pitcher this year. Eddie mentions Joey Loprofito slumped terribly the past 4 weeks. Yeah, it's been brutal. Expect to see Jonathan Clase playing for the Blue Jays in late August. I don't know that I mentioned Clase. I had him on my list. I might have just accidentally skipped right over him. But yes, Clase is definitely a guy that makes sense. Here's another one. I wish they would have found a way to just simply, you know, we'll take back your C-level prospect if you just eat Springer's contract. Hell, we'll give you half of the rest of Springer's contract. And I don't know. We'll just see. We'll see. I think Class A should be up. There's a big difference between should and will, and especially with a team that has not shown great decisions this year. Blue Jays just haven't made a lot of great decisions. So, okay, our last stop around the major leagues is the Philadelphia Phillies. And for what it's worth, just so you guys don't say I'm calling out any team ahead or behind of any others, or the Philadelphia Phillies are the last contender alphabetically in the National League. So that's why they're last. That's why Baltimore was the first contender we talked about. So Philadelphia, I really think they're still probably going to be looking for some guys who can eat up some innings in the bullpen, and specifically guys who can eat some innings in the bullpen. But Mick Abel and Seth Johnson, both currently starters, but both with the type of stuff that could play up in a short burst. And I could absolutely see either one of those two guys coming up and being a real impact type of guy for a two-inning relief role for the rest of the season. And Griff McGarry had 5 walks in an inning recently and has had that trouble all year long. I don't know that they want to trust him with that. Let's see here. Let me pull up. On Dylan Cruz, we actually talked about Dylan Cruz, and I said, I really think that they're going to likely give guys like Alex Call and Jacob Young and Juan Yepes and guys like that probably a lot of time the rest of the way, unless they're ready to completely hand off a job to Cruz. That's the only way I see him go off. Yep, and I was just going to say, Abel came back. Wynn did some work on his stuff, and they said that they found something where he was not gripping the ball the right, doing something with the way he was gripping the ball was not correct. And he came back, and his first start back was significantly better, probably his best look of the year. I don't know if it's his best stats of the year, but definitely the best look that I have seen so far this year on him. But yes. So if anyone, yes, Eddie mentions here, if someone doesn't come up this season, this episode, guys, lots of names here that almost certainly are going to impact their team in 2025. So I'm looking forward to what the rest of this year will bring. I cannot imagine that any of the guys that I mentioned here is going to be in Arizona, because they typically like to see guys who are high A, double A type of guys, and a lot of these guys were double A, triple A type of guys. So there might be one or two that we see in Arizona Fall League, but more than likely your next time to really get a good eye on these guys is going to be, you know, it's going to be the rest of this year and then spring training next year, where they're going to potentially be competing for a job. So that's all I got tonight. If you guys have any other questions, comments, concerns, as we are finishing up here, I think it's going to be fun just to see what teams do with some certain guys. Like I said, a team like, you know, Houston has a lot of options down in the minor leagues for pitching, but they kind of seem to like to just hang with the guys they have, and they went out and got Kikuchi. I've been beating the AJ Blueball drum all year long, and he still hasn't gotten a call up from even up to AAA from AA. So, you know, teams have their own decision timelines, and we'll have to watch that. But I think you're going to see some really interesting moves the rest of the year. Hopefully we hit on a few of them to give you an idea before they truly do hit this year. So on that note, I am going to let you all go so I can go and maybe spend just a couple moments with my wife before she decides to go to bed on me. But hey, Eddie, always thank you, man. Seriously, I really, Eddie, you came up with this idea for this post. And I really, or for this pod, and I enjoyed it. So, you know, he says, this was a great podcast tonight, better than usual, and usually they are all great. Now, Eddie, that's just, gosh darn it, you're just so darn nice to us. So, and... Chad says that Lewis Hill might get demoted because he lost to the White Sox. Well, I got into a good argument this weekend, and apparently that is going to be a long running. I'm going to shut off the applause. There we go. But I got into a good discussion with or on Twitter over the weekend regarding the AL Rookie of the Year, and I really think Lewis Hill is going to have a good shot in that competition when all is said and done. So. All right, folks, thank you for coming out. Thank you for enjoying the podcast tonight. Again, subscribe on our YouTube channel. Check us out on all the social medias under Palazzo Podcast. Check out our Discord, the Palazzo Discord. You're going to have a great time. I'm on there a lot. I love to chat ball. And quite frankly, I probably give out a whole lot of free advice that you'd have to pay for a lot of other places. I know I do. I know a lot of other guys on there do, not just me. So not just tooting my own horn saying, you know, hey, we got a lot of folks on that channel that are more than willing to talk ball and help you out. So let's all enjoy the rest of what we have this year. And next week, Robbie and I will be back, and we can all see if Jonathan Cannon was the guy to start this week. So, all right, we'll all talk to you later.
Power prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. It's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.